Hello, thank you for being with us here on the New Life Educational Series with Dr. Michael Lyman. Hello, Rav Lyman. Hello, Nitza Mazuz. Hello. We want to invite you to be with us in this lesson that we're going to receive from Rav Lyman, and we're going to learn how to take our lives to a new place. New life is a better life, a simpler life. It's just simply better. How is that, according to what Rav Lyman is teaching us? A better connection between us and the people surrounding us. When we relate to the home and family that we live in as a small laboratory where we want to learn to develop this ability, how to connect with someone else who isn't myself, how parents can do it along with their kids, how to actually get feedback from your kids and develop our ability to connect with people at work, at business, anywhere that we are, and how to take all of our lives as people to a new place, a connected place where we complete one another, we flow with one another, and suddenly discover that life is better. Do you want it? We want it as well. Be with us. And today we're in the family unit. You can take conclusions I noticed for myself. You can take it to any part of your life. Even if it's about parents and children, the same principles work in every area of life. That's my personal experience from these discussions about family. Nitza, get us into the discussion we're having today. So the discussion today is transitions and changes in the family unit and family life and the child's life, and it's natural. We know that growth periods are always come with transition periods and periods like this. And these periods are usually characterized by lack of certainty, something new is happening, situations that we're not used to. Sometimes we have to get used to certain things, separate from certain things. We want to open up. We want to escort a family from the first stage through all these stages and natural transitions that any family would go through. As parents, we know that if we like it or not, it's a natural part of what we do. And everything we want to learn here is how to do it in the most correct way. How to nurture the child in the best way for every transition phase. So the first transition phase for a young couple is the stage where a baby begins the process of becoming being weaned off the breast or the bottle or whatever it is. It's a process of weaning. What characterizes that period? I don't know what there is to add here because these are natural things. Even if we wouldn't educate a person, he would still do this. According to his inner physiology, his inner development, his body development, he would still go from milk to fluid food and then solid food, etc. But rather here, we need to understand what exactly in nature it's really written, it's really rooted in nature that we'll do it in a manner that's as close as possible to our body and not according to our wisdoms that we're developing or that we think like this today or like that tomorrow. And in this way, we're damaging the generation. Therefore, it says in the Torah, breastfeeding has to continue for 2 years. And for sure, man's body hasn't really changed. As we see with animals, there's changes. But they're not changes that come from nature. But they rather come from us putting things into food, chemicals. And then in this manner, our body changes. Through what we eat, what we drink, radiation. We still change, but if we wouldn't, the changes would be very tiny. Therefore, I think that those 2 years of breastfeeding, it's truly the correct and good period for for babies that are being born today. But you can already start to add something that if it's according to the plan of nature, if everything exists according to the plan of nature, there's no reason to add anything. The mother's milk, correct, healthy, it covers everything, all the bodily needs of the growing body of the child, of the baby. And afterwards, in a natural manner, if we would finish the breastfeeding, it wouldn't be so difficult to disconnect from this process, from receiving food in this manner to other food. Because it's a time that goes by, so it's difficult for us to speak about the correct stages. I'm not going to go criticize what's happening, and I'm not going to go promote things and pressurize people to do something that we're maybe not capable of today. I see after 2 or 3 weeks, they take the child on all kinds of travels, and they give him a bottle, so it'll be easier in every place to bring him to all kinds of places. There's nothing we can do about it. So we still need to aspire to this situation. And truly, our whole life this time is going back to a place where many people won't have work, and the ability to reach families, the home, the term of home, that a mother is breastfeeding the kids, and there's a time and place for it and a desire, that the public themselves understand that it's important. They give it a general importance. They give the correct framework for it, and then it's not difficult for a woman to be a mother. A mother is first and foremost someone who gives birth and breastfeeds. That's it. So the weaning process, I don't think it should be difficult, but if it's necessary, then it needs to be done the way people do today, that they begin to replace it with gradually with a meal here, another meal, 2 meals. Then they check what's more correct for the baby. Even though there's not really anything to check here, we have to give something that's closest according to their taste and the replacement, that it will really be a replacement. I don't want to criticize all these replacements that we have instead of mother's milk. This is the world, this is life. I think the general crisis that brought us back to being close to nature will arrange this as well. And not that we need to be against some what's happening now. It has to happen in a natural manner, that a person will understand what's in his best interests, that he won't go running after all kinds of imaginary goals, but rather that he'll go back to calm life in the family, raising children and in everything. Altogether, life according to what we're speaking about, after the integral education, after this knowledge, this integral education, they will receive a form that it will be clear how we need to build the breastfeeding period. And then afterward, after 2 years of breastfeeding, that a child has to grow again only through the environment, that each time we're not pressuring him, we're teaching him, and we're mainly giving him forms, the correct forms from which he can learn. We show what's good, what's bad. Like theater, the whole world, our whole life has to be ahead of him, passing ahead of him, and that's how he learns. And mainly and for sure how he grasps these forms of life that are passing before him, that they will be arranged correctly. Because through this, kids obligate their parents, the big ones, to be correct in the correct life, that love for children actually obligates the parents to maintain themselves properly. And here we need to bring the parents examples from the entire spectrum of life, from all areas of life, how children grasp it through their senses. They don't even see it, they absorb it from the air. They are like the way they were born, not seeing and not hearing, but really according to smell, what they smell, what's happening. From that, they already absorb their wisdom of life. Therefore, we need to truly, with our whole heart, in a direct manner, with dedication and directly, we need to build our lives as a family in such a way that what we'll build now is what will build our children. I want to ask, I feel that what you described here compared to the weaning, if it's done in a natural manner, then it happens gradually by itself. I want to understand the concept of weaning. There's a weaning off diapers, there's other types of weaning. There's a process where the child gradually, first of all, he's glued to the mother, and gradually it begins a process of separation, of acquiring independence. It has to be very gradual, in a manner that we identify in the child in himself a desire for it, that the body itself is already prepared and is doing some actions, some movements, that he's prepared for it, then we are helping him. But he has to show, it's like birth, the correct time that there's the baby wants to come out, that the body itself develops, the baby develops some kind of new relationship that it has to get rid of something. The same thing is happening here. We're not comfortable. We're not waiting. We're not waiting for that time. Like when we're giving birth, also when we're weaning ourselves off breastfeeding and diapers, we don't wait for the time when we see signs from the child developing that he's ready to be weaned off, that he's ready to get out of it. Let's say I wanted to see what's happening with the kid. What signs will the child give? He'll take other things. He wants to take what you're eating. He'll suddenly it's good for him, it's convenient for him. In a natural way it happens. Not that now we give him some replacement in a bottle, and we feed him and he cries and we forcibly get him used to eating oatmeal. If he wants to, if he doesn't want to, it has to be in his, not that he sees things in his mother's plate, that he sees a steak. Of course, that's not suitable for him, and it shouldn't even be next to him, even though smells are not for him. But it should be something that suits him. like a few options that suit him. Some mashed potatoes or mashed vegetables or mashed fruits. Sorry, not mashed potatoes. Also according to the consistency. According to how it feels, that it needs to suit the baby. And then we see how much he cries or how much he likes it or not. And this has to be in a natural manner. The moment we see he has an inclination to that, to add more and more, but not after a few months, but rather, really, it has to be at least after a year. Let's put it like that. What happens to the baby or the child at the stage where he actually goes through a stage where he himself is asking to be slightly more independent? He has to, this is called developing naturally, that he has a desire to reach the new stage, the next act. He finished it in a natural manner. He filled everything. He's mature in this. You can say he's ripe. And he himself wants to break out of these things. And then the mother, the big mother, has to help him, but not before. That's called educating a child in his way. In his case, it's also like that, in his way. According to how much he shows the signs that he's capable, prepared, and swallowing these things, he's capable of verifying what's good and what's bad. The body is finished developing physiologically inside in absorbing materials, absorbing milk, let's say. So now he knows what's good for me after milk. Like in the living body, he begins to identify this in the correct manner, like we see a little puppy or a little cat, how they look for some plant, what's good for them and what's not good for them to eat. Why can't a person do that? A person is also built in such a manner, so we should allow him to develop slightly like this. It really develops our immune system in a correct manner. We're very far from this. Now, let's say that if I understand the principle behind the process of weaning, the child himself will gradually make his steps toward this process, and he'll show a desire to go toward the next stage. And then the weaning happens in a more natural and softer way. Is it the same for the diaper? It's the same for everything. And then a person, how can I put it? Then a person will understand in his life in general how to reach a situation where he himself verifies what's good and what's bad, and not that it's being pushed and not that he's being forced. Until we had modern chemical medicine, the modern pharmaceuticals, it was completely different before. If I used to come to a doctor, I would recommend whoever's in Toronto, they have a village, an example of an ancient village from 200 years ago when the Europeans came. And there they have the types of life, how they used to live. And there's a doctor's house there. It's very interesting. I always take an interest in that, and I went to see it. This doctor has a huge piece of land, and there's all kinds of parts that says what he's growing, which plants, which herbs. All kinds of plants. Then he has a huge house where he lives. It's a very wealthy place. There's no house in that same village as wealthy as the doctor's house. But what's in the house, part of it, he's drying the plants, and another part, he's preparing them. In other words, people knew, at least the doctor knew, he knew which things to use from nature. If we discover in this manner, as we spoke of, to our children, if we give them the correct urge to develop, if we give them, if we allow them to develop, to know the good inclination and bad inclination and nature around them, this is good instead of mother's milk, and this is instead of this, then we'll reach a state where they'll be in some ways similar to animals. They'll know how to receive this medicine from nature itself. That's, of course, futuristic, but at least for defense of the body, for good defense, it's very effective. I want to go to the next stage after the weaning stage. It's a stage where the child was looked after by one person, the mother. Suddenly it goes to an environment where there's more kids, let's say a nursery school. What is the correct way to prepare the child for this, make the correct preparation for this transition to the nursery school? Suddenly he has friends, other people. How can it be done correctly? First of all, kids, it depends on the period, how we develop. But up to the age of 2, the child doesn't feel the environment. He needs his mother. He needs his room. And he is between them. And it's good not to even take him far away from the house, not even out of the house. It's not good. His body, until the age of 2, is not, cannot deal with the bad environment, the germs, and all kinds of influences. Until the age of 2, this is actually the time that he's continuing as if he's inside his mother, just in a manner. It's not even called him being born yet. He's still living inside her and feeling her, and he has to feel her smell, her milk, all those things, they continue. And afterward, after 2 years, we begin to look at him as not as a baby, but rather as at a small boy. And even though it's not so, even though we're not talking about society, but the games, the going out, can already take place, but not in a dramatic way, not in a drastic way that we take him for long trips as if he's going to understand something. He doesn't understand anything that's happening, just the opposite. All the things that we usually want to show him and think that in that we are developing him, we're doing the opposite. We're closing him off because they're operating on him in a threatening manner on the child. He's not prepared for that. He doesn't know what you're talking about. Look at an airplane. It scares him. Look at this horse. It scares him. All kinds of things. He needs to receive something very gradually and according to his brain and feelings. It has to be suited, circle, another, a wider and wider circle in a gradual manner. So, if yes, here we need to, maybe psychologists speak about it. I don't really know what's happening in that sector, but it appears to me that here we need to develop truly a process, how we usually open the world to our children from the age of 2 and onward, in what way, for boys, for girls, how do we talk to them, what they listen to, what they see, etc. But it doesn't matter, whatever it is, it's not cars, it's not planes, trains, buses, it's not those noises, it's not technology, to make a long story short. It's the world as closest as possible to nature, trees, grass, a dog, a cat, anything that exists in our environment and that kids like. Birds, all those things, but also not scary and not far off that he can't understand, but things that are very close to him. What was always next to a person. Because we didn't speak, but we also need to say in between the words that we have reshimot from previous generations. We're not just growing, and we're not just wise compared to the previous generation, but we're more developed than the previous generation. It's all the genes that we have from the previous generation. We took them, and we're developing onward. And therefore, we need to take into account that all the natural development that we had in the previous generation household, this natural household, still, it's in our genes. We don't need to replace it to something artificial, cars and planes and roads, etc. As natural and pastoral as possible. It's very, very beneficial. And this is especially in an environment that the environment that we need to give to a child, and especially not all kinds of cartoons and right away to put him, give him all kinds of other things. Even, it's not even good that he'll see these examples from the parents. What do you mean, that they're watching TV, that they're talking on the phone? These are things that aren't. It's good for him to grow up gradually, like humanity comes to the 21st century, to the internet and the wireless, etc., mobile phones. Up until then, it developed in a simple way. Let's say in 2 or 3 years, the gadgets will come into his life. But even though they say that kids at a very young age, they know how to play with all those new technologies better than the parents. But it's instead of their natural development, and afterwards it's missing. And instead of that, they have all kinds of problems with their nervous system, immune system, etc. So it's really important. I'd want to hear why. Because naturally, the child is exposed to what we're doing. Every person in his life, in his 70 years, is similar, just like all of humanity developed, the entire universe developed. This is in general, and this is the individual, but it's the same process. Therefore, we also need to attempt to build the child's life in a manner that he doesn't run after 2 years and goes to sit in front of a computer and hits a button and sees this stuff. He'll see it in a manner, he'll be missing a different natural perspective. He'll be missing the depth, the smell, to touch it, to grab it in his mouth, what kids do. Take him to some park where there's a dog, a cat, a tree, grass, sand, all those things. How many natural ways are there to be in awe there compared to what he sees from some flat screen? It's completely a different perspective. It's completely a crooked, unnatural perspective without receiving the depth, the five senses, using the five senses, the consistency. I'm not in touch with nature. I see a form. I see a picture. So what is that? You get it? So we have to go through the child with the same development like humanity went through, but just through 5 years. instead of 50,000 years. But it has to be like this, in a manner that all kinds of systems developed gradually, and each one develops and supports the other one after the other. And the fact that we push it in his face, the TV, the screen, the mobile phone, the TV, the computer, each of those things that are flat and artificial, it really ruins him. It builds him the incorrect perspective of life. Afterward, he goes out to life, and everything for him is one screen, not nature. For him, everything is a screen. His emotional development is harmed. Take him afterward in nature, he won't understand nature. He doesn't understand it. The sea, the forests, for him, we're not even aware of it because we're still grasping it, let's say, in the natural manner that it was once. But he grasps it in a literary way. And then he has the wrong attitude to life. It's like you're letting him watch all kinds of Hollywood movies as a child. So for him, killing a person or jumping off the roof, it's perfectly natural, and he'll do it. He thinks that's what people do. He'll get it with all kinds of other, without the protective systems. So it's really not allowed. When you spoke about it, I see on my daughter, she doesn't allow my grandchild, he's 4 and a half, she doesn't allow him to get close to those things. Not TV, no computer, nothing. The phone, yes, he sees people talking, so he likes to pretend he's talking on the phone. He takes it as if he's talking. That's also an example, early example, but in that there's nothing you can do. They're like monkeys. They want to imitate us. It also influences their ability to create social ties. Yes, it's a virtual connection. Of course, it's not human connection. We see it on all those people that are on computers now, how much they are... They don't have the right to human connections. Is that what may be causing all the attention deficits today, all the attention problems? I don't want to make generalizations, and I don't want to get into things that I don't know the statistics. It's not really my territory. I'm just saying that according to nature, that I know well, and a person is still a person that comes from there, and that's how it has to be for sure. How it happens today in society, how much it gets ruined or not, I don't know, because these modern things, the modern things that ruin us, I don't know so well. So let's talk about the transition. That's one of the most exciting transitions when a kid goes from nursery school and into school. Not even, no, we're still in nursery school. It depends. In the nursery school, he gets the foundations of life. This is very important. It's his relationships with others. It's speaking. It's that entire... body of knowledge, colors, smells, everything that's in nature around him, how we relate to everything, how we protect ourselves from all these things that are close to him, how we relate to a friend, how we relate to a boy and a girl. We teach them all these things. To maintain himself up high, for the development side, and also to protect, to be in the middle line, the golden path for everything. That's nursery school. Nursery school is, I think it's more important than school. From the emotional foundation perspective, the nursery school is truly the school of schools. It's the foundation. It's the basis for everything. Therefore, you need to see, is he learning language? How is he talking? The nursery school teacher, how they talk, maybe in two languages at least, because a child grasps everything, the vocabulary, the impressions, the way he expresses himself, how he expresses it in words and also movements. We need to see. When I look at children, you can identify which nursery school and which nursery school teacher, what kinds of children are around him. You can see it on him. And this is very important. Here you can't compromise. You think, oh, school will fix everything. He won't learn afterward. If he hasn't been in the correct nursery school and hasn't seen and hasn't developed himself with all kinds of enticements that were brought him gradually according to a plan, he won't be developed properly. Truly won't. I remember in my nursery school I was taught to launder. A handkerchief and all kinds of things. We didn't really have a lot to play with apart from the slides and stuff. That was 65 years ago. But still, until today, I know myself. Until today, I can say that these and these things have remained with me from that period. I can differentiate them. That's from school, from my first classes, and that's from nursery school. And from nursery school, I have the way I relate to girls differently than boys. You can't hit them. You can't scream at them. You can't talk to them. I remember it. I even remember scenes where they taught us, boys compared to girls, how we need to treat them, and it remains with me. I'm sure that it comes from there, all kinds of things. School doesn't deal with that afterward at all. School is science. It's a different height of development altogether. It's not emotional, it's social, and this is very basic. So let's stop and focus on this transition. We have a child that actually wasn't with kids until the stage where he joined a nursery school, doesn't matter what. He has his first change in life in which from being a child in the family with his mother, he's about to go into a society of kids. Not soon. His mother is taking him there and is spending the day with him, half the day. However long the nursery school is, I don't think it needs to be longer than 3, 4, 5 hours. That's it. His mother is there with him. And then afterward, in a natural manner, he starts to play some more with others, with himself, with the games, with the sandbox. And he knows that his mother's there, 1 meter or 2 away from him. Sometimes she comes to play with him. Sometimes he gets out of her sight, he can play in his corner, and his mother's in the kitchen or something. It's the same thing. He doesn't feel sharp transitions. He's not being dragged to some place, thrown out of the car, straight into the nursery school, and you're running to work. There's kids that we see that they're much more sensitive. They cry, and it doesn't matter how much the mother's there and she tries. Each and every mother's the same. If we educate them correctly, there's no problem. It's like we wean them off from the breast or from sucking. They'll wean themselves off the mother, and it won't be some trauma strategy for him. But it'll be in a natural manner. But it needs to be done naturally and not by force. So the principle here is to do it gradually. The mother's there for a half a day. And gradually, that both of them are operating in a manner that he's not looking at her, then he remembers and he runs to her, you know? Until she can say, like she's at home in the kitchen and he's there, but he knows that he can go he can come to her. She might even go shopping or something, and then she comes back to him. This all has to happen in a gradual manner. There's no way around it. Because a child that is just left like that, you've taken life out of him. You've taken the source of life away from him. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible tragedy that remains inside. Where do these criminals come from, all these terrorists? Where do they come from? From all kinds of wrong forms of how they were related to in their childhood. We even have research about Hitler and all those and great Nazis, the big Nazis. Where did they get this urge from? These are poor kids altogether. These are very extreme events. The principle is the same principle. The child really signals that he has some trouble and it's hard for him. And sometimes we don't know, is it normal, is it not normal? Do we need to be with him more? Do we need to release? The same principle is always educate a child according to his way. Be sensitive to his needs. So now let's go from the nursery school to school. What happens when they transition from the nursery school? First of all, in the nursery, they need to begin teaching him reading, writing, numbers from the age of 3. We must begin letters from the age of 4. He needs to begin reading freely. He needs to sing, he needs to know things, colors. At the age of 5 to 6, he needs to learn this is higher and this is wider, more or less comparisons. And from the age of 6 onward, it starts to be school. In school, one second before school, how's the transition? We're talking about how preparing for these transitions. Not that it's done in a tragic manner. As soon as he's going to finish nursery school, why does it have to be traumatic? If in the nursery school you have the same kids that according to the same program, according to the same plan, they're learning, and they all come in the correct normal manner, in the normal development of everyone, and then they fill. So let me give you the first difference. So I'm answering you. Why shouldn't that same class that's in the nursery school go to school? So let me give you the first difference. In the nursery school, we're a group of kids. We go through all these experiences. We learn and develop, like you explained. In school, there's a few grades. It's not just one class. In school, I'm going to go into grade 1 next year, and I'll meet kids that are above me, at least until grade 6. This transition is a big difference. It shouldn't be like that at all. It should be a school, but there's no schools like that today. I'm asking how to prepare my child for when he finishes nursery school. He goes out to the yard, and he's in the Wild West. I'm not prepared to even speak about it. That's the trauma that child is going to go through from going through being in one class. Schools need to be divided in a very clear manner. Let's say the first 4 years. Okay, 4 years. So there's me and there's another 3 grades ahead above me. So how do we prepare for this transition? That's precisely the question. How do we prepare for a transition? We're in the nursery school. I'm with my friends, and going into the next system, if it's 4 or 6 years, let's say they improve it, let's say there's other grades. And then there's relations of small people and big people. That's what he meets in school. The teacher isn't important. The teacher is also important. So I'm asking you, what do we do? We're at home. We're like parents. How do we prepare them? Forget about the home. The home is from the age of 2. Now his life is advancing through the nursery school. How from the nursery school? How does he prepare himself for entering the next system? That's the question. It's very simple. At least a month or two, at least before he goes into class, with his friends, with the same group, with the same group from nursery school and maybe a few other nursery schools in the area. I would add and verify all these kids who are going into the class. There's a principle of some constancy. Gradually, I'm getting to it. I build inside the nursery school the next class. A month or two, that I started to say, a month or two before they come to the framework of school, a teacher comes to the nursery school and begins, along with them, begins to play and get to know them. And there are also mothers there. The mothers are also there in the nursery school. And then together, every day they have like a party. So the kids get used to the teacher, and maybe not just one. And she gets to know them, and she knows the parents. She gets to know the nursery school teacher. And she accepts them the way they are, that she accepts them as if they're going to a new nursery school called school. Things are very simple. And then when they go to school, how does the school need to be different from the nursery school? What do you think? If the transition has to be gradual and smooth, half the time they're playing in the yard. It's not the bell and they sit down and that's it, but a little bit more than before from year to year, like they advance. Now they also need to advance from year to year. But now they sit in a circle. In the nursery school they sat in a circle and they sang and they talked. They continue the same way. The psychological problem that we have is that we call it school now all of a sudden. It's not school. It's the same society developing, and each one in it is being developed for all kinds of things. They're being taught to play with better things, do things with their hands, to paint things more carefully, to see all kinds of things, get an example from it, all kinds of things that they do with their hands, their ears, even smelling. We're developing senses, but not just senses, how it smells, but to the extent that this is more than that, along with that, less than that. We're teaching them art, how things connect together, how things are, what things are made up of, so that later it will be easier for them to understand the happiness that's around a person, and not that they'll just be a small fragment of life. And we develop them in this manner that you can call it nursery school or school. It doesn't matter what it's called. We're developing the same integral education method. We're continuing it. We're just adding some more knowledge. But the main thing is to add some more knowledge The main thing is to add some more data. What do you mean nature? What you said before, the sand, the cat, the dog, the natural things, we're adding knowledge. What's physics, chemistry, biology, zoology, botanica? These are the natural sciences. We used to learn simple things. This is green, this is red, this is like that, this is like this. Now we're learning more. This is flowers, and this is colors, and this is sounds, and this is materials. Physics, this is how we break things and glue things, what laws we have in it. It's all according to example. Like we learned 2,000 years ago, our wise ones. What do you mean an example? That they went in the field and they explained to them what's happening. Not in an artificial manner that they sat in class like zombies and they all looked at the teacher. And they're talking about something that has no connection to life. I remember myself that I myself had to explain to the class things that the teacher didn't explain and all kinds of things. I remember I explained to them how the refrigerator works. I grasped these things, even though it was a bit abstract. They didn't understand. They didn't understand before. And why do they come out of school not knowing anything or remembering anything? Because it's disconnected from their life. It's still like to get, it means we, the principle is simple. We're continuing from nursery school on to school. There's no separation here. There's no separation. We're just expanding that same relation to animals, nature, people, the relations between them. We're just expanding the horizons and getting into more depth. It has to be gradual and smooth. And now I understood our strategy. I have to say, and we're here, the parents. Now, you described truly a system, an educational system that goes through some constant process of development where there are no transitions. That's exactly it. And we, in our experience today, like the systems are as they are today, our child and we go through these transitions. The transitions exist. So precisely when I was listening to what you said, I could understand and feel the child, how in this natural state, he's not even experienced these small crises or these problems when he has fears and all kinds of things that you don't understand where it's coming from. I'll even add to that for the future that we'll talk about more. And afterward, when we get closer to a more problematic age, where there starts to be sex and pride and conflicts that are natural for a person, that evil inclination starts to grow in a person and jealous and control, he starts to have all those things inside him. We begin to divide. We have to divide each and every class so that they won't see big people and little people. They have to not learn from those or from those, not about the small ones controlling them and not about the big ones below them. They need to, only in this manner, we can build from them a homogeneous, universal class that knows how to look after itself, that there's not big people or little people, they're not weak and stronger, and those that complete those, etc. Only in this manner. Each age, from the age of 9-10, transition from childhood to matriculation. There's no school where there's from the age of 5 to 15, or even more. Like I had from age 7 to 17, I looked at them and they were really, they looked like monsters. It was scary. Something big. I'm willing to do anything for him just to look at me. And if it's 4 years like you described before, in those 4 years, there's still a natural development. You can learn from something from each child. From the age of 8 or 9, you can learn something from a 5-year-old. How do I prepare him for going to a place where there's another 3 age groups ahead of him? I don't prepare him. He's in my school. It's a school for the 5th grade. But let's start from, he went from nursery school to grade 1. So grade 1 is isolated. It's just grade 1. Let's say we're creating a different reality on a blank page. In an ideal manner, it should be like that. In an ideal manner, each class is by themselves. They have no connection with others. Now, we're still not in an ideal reality. A kid goes into a school with 6 grades. Let's go with you and say that there's 4 grades. I'm going to be that small child in the framework of the 4 years. If we educate them properly, from the age of 6 to 10, they're still not the age of 10. Today, they're pretty big. Until the age of 9, 3 years, let's say, they're still developing according to nature. They're bigger or smaller, but altogether in their height, and not that there's problems with their urges with these little small people. Not jealousy and respect, control. They don't have this sneakiness yet. They don't have a back brain. They're still straightforward, direct. Even if they do these lies, you can see that it's in a natural manner. Not that they have 2 brains, the one that I want to present and the one that I want to use to benefit off of others, which is called evil inclination. They don't have it yet. Therefore, they can be together, maybe even 3 or 4 classes together. That we don't want to teach the little ones, the bigger ones, corruption. I'm saying that in brackets. It would be best if each class was on their own. They have their own yard, everything. They don't have anything. They don't need to be with 1,000 kids in the same yard. And then these small kids are pushed into some corner, and the big kids come, and God knows what they're doing to them. We're already close to the end. Nitza, can you summarize? The truth is that it gave me lots of thoughts. Summarize what happened today. What I learned and understood today is, first of all, in the weaning process, and in general, I would say there's this constancy from the moment a child is born. There's a process, a constant process, and if we're more attentive to the child and his needs and his ripeness, then actually we're skipping these stages that we call transition phases, and actually it goes in passes in a soft and natural manner without having all these hardships along the way. It's the true from the moment, from the first moment a child goes through some inner development where he wants to get away and be more independent, and his transition from one environment to the next become much softer and more natural. This is the understanding in his manner. We need to keep that same law, which means that we don't break nature. The significance is that one child can be ready before, and there's a lot more to add, but the main thing is that even though we teach him reading and writing, we especially want him to develop a memory. He wants to know the songs and passages and texts, like Psalm of Psalms, and he should learn as much as he can off by heart, like entire books off by heart. We have a lot to learn. Okay, but our time is up, and we're going to continue speaking about it. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, all the best. New Life.